morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And today we want to talk about the problem in the church known as the secret killer. It's the problem of pornography, and it is prevalent in the Christian community. Doesn't just affect men, doesn't just affect young men. It affects young men and older men, middle-aged men, older men. It affects women. And it is something that the church has a very difficult time talking about, knowing how to talk about it. And to be honest, we're not doing a very good job. And many, many people are trapped in this sin that they know is sin, but they can't seem to get out. It's like being in a pit and they can't seem to get out. Well, today we welcome to the program Sam Black. Sam is a former journalist and an expert in the field of pornography recovery. And since 2018, he served as the director of recovery education at Covenant Eyes. And Covenant Eyes is one of the world's leading accountability software applications. Sam has also edited 16 books on the impact of porn addiction, and he regularly speaks at parenting, leadership, and men's events across the country. He has a brand new book out called The Healing Church: What Churches Get Wrong About Pornography and How to Fix It. Sam, welcome to the program today.
Jeff, thank you so much for having me today. I just appreciate your courage as a pastor to take this topic on full bore.
Well, I know it's a, we started probably, Sam, probably, I don't know, 10 years or so ago, maybe 15, we started a Thursday Bible study called Man Up, and it's a lunch Bible study, and we talk about how men can be men of honor, men of integrity, good husbands, good fathers, good grandfathers, and obviously pornography comes up in those discussions when we're just there with men, and it is a difficult topic. It's hard. You know, as a pastor, it's hard to talk about that on a Sunday morning, I mean, and really devote a sermon to it or whatever. I'll touch on it, but I think your book is very, very needed today, The Healing Church, what the church gets wrong about pornography and how to fix it. So let's talk about some of the chapters in the book. I've been reading it yesterday and today. Let's talk about how men get stuck and how women get stuck in this terrible, horrible trap of pornography and guilt and shame.
Thank you. Yes. You know, as we get started, thehealingchurch.com, your listeners can download the introduction and the first chapter of the book. I think it's important for us to understand how people get stuck, why they often stay stuck, and why we need a safe place and a safe process within the church that really leads to not just managing sin, but finding freedom from sin. We create disciples in the church. And when we do that, we create people who go on fire and give back to the church. We really need to understand that pornography is undermining every ministry in the church, whether you're looking at children's ministries, because we know that children are being exposed, and this is very important as we talk about men and becoming trapped and women becoming trapped. We need to understand that pornography is undermining our children's ministry and our teen ministry, because the average age for first exposure to pornography is somewhere between the ages of 8 and 12. And those develop a building block for ongoing use of pornography, and that repetition is very important from how God made us, made our brains, made our sexuality, etc. And those building block behaviors, those, because of that early exposure, they form a foundation upon which other sexual behaviors are built. So that's very important for us to recognize. And then when we think of men's ministry and women's ministry, marriage ministry, we have to understand that pornography is undermining all of those. And yes, 56% of divorce cases a day, a major contributing factor is ongoing use of pornography by one or the other spouse. And so when we think about how do men and women get stuck, there are three common factors that we see over and over again. And the first one we talked about was early exposure. And that ignites a brain that is not prepared, often doesn't even know about the basic mechanics of how God created sex for marriage. Second is the repetition. We know that teenagers are often using pornography in secret. And we're not doing a very good job at protecting our children and our teens from pornography. And then the third, this is often that works all together, and this, sometimes this is often a cement that binds us, is early, a drama or trauma, especially early in life, but it can happen anytime. And with that, men and women begin using pornography to manage their moods, and they're often easily triggered by any number of factors. I call them C triggers, S-E-E, because they're social, environmental, and emotional triggers that easily ignite someone to go seek pornography, even when they say over and over again, I don't want this in my life. I want to stop this. And we need to understand that pornography often has deep roots in a person's life. And just simply warning them that pornography is wrong, God's not for that, don't do that, they already know that's true. Mm-hmm. And they often desperately want to find freedom. They just don't know how.
Let me ask you this, Sam. Is with pornography use, as with any other addiction, if you have drug addiction, alcohol addiction, food addiction, pornography addiction, is the way home pretty much the same in all those, or is it different regarding pornography?
I've heard from many, many people that food addictions and pornography addictions are especially difficult, because you can take away the alcohol and you can take away the drugs, but we need food to survive, mm-hmm. and God designed us as sexual beings. And so those things need to be moderated and redeemed, and not just simply, you can not just quit, but how do you turn them over and have a renewing of the mind as through the Holy Spirit? And that comes through deep discipleship, because in marriage, you should not stop having sex, right? And pornography is not sex. It's a hijacking of what God created.
Right. Yeah, I've always often looked at it like that. It's like, okay, a person doesn't need those other things, but I think what makes food addiction or pornography addiction and sexual addiction, we are created that way. So that's an internal battle that somebody has to fight. I mean, we fight the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, boastful pride of life. We fight that internally on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Now, Sam, you have a lot of great statistics, shocking statistics in the book. 2/3 of men and 1/3 of women who attend church regularly say they struggle with pornography, yet only 7% of churches offer specific resources and support to help the congregation. More than 1/3 of men attending church are locked in a continuous struggle with pornography. And among younger Christian men, 36% that say they use porn daily. I would say, and when you alluded to the fact that it's younger and younger than it was, I mean, I'm 60 years old. When I grew up, you had to hunt for a magazine or something like that. Now it's just so prevalent, and I don't know how kids in middle school or even in grade school, how does a parent protect his or her child from that?
Today, we know that 93% of boys, 63% of girls are going to be exposed to pornography. So it's not so much if they're going to be exposed, but when, and are we preparing them for the day that they will see it? So I dedicated in addition to how men and women get stuck with that early exposure and helping outline that in the book, I also dedicated a chapter to how the church really needs to step in and begin helping parents and training parents to train their children. Because we really do need to help parents, because they're getting mixed messages on a number of fronts, as you can imagine. But the church can really help equip them for help parents to equip their children for the day that they see porn, so we can teach and train them to run tell. In 2019, just as an example, I attended more than 20 homeschool events. These are very large events where we were equipping and training parents on how to have an ongoing conversation with their children. And I had a mom, and she the next year she came back and was attending the same conference, and she came running across the conference floor and said, and she's yelling out, "Sam, I have to talk to you." And I was like, "Oh my goodness, what happened?" And she says, "Hey Sam, I wanted to let you know that my 7-year-old son was just exposed to pornography. I attended your session last year, did exactly what you said to do." And I thought, well, she's smiling, so I think this is going to be a good story. And she says, you know, "Oh my goodness, I don't want any 7-year-old child to be exposed to pornography." But in this case, again, the 7-year-old was at the next door neighbor's house, and that 7-year-old boy had just received an iPad for his birthday. And very quickly, he found pornography on its own because pornography went and hunted him down, right? He doesn't have to go looking for it. It's going to come and find him. And the neighbor boy put this iPad in the face of the other seven-year-old boy, and he says, "Look what I found." And the boy who's been trained puts his hand in front of the screen and says, "No, that's pornography." He got up, he went home, and he told his mom and dad what had happened.
Wow.
Now, so he was equipped and trained. Yeah. And so that the parents let the other parents know what happened. They were flabbergasted that their child would be naturally curious, like all children are curious. And I think we often miss that, and we can come back to that. That children are naturally curious about what the opposite sex looks like without clothes. With a little more investigation, the neighboring family discovered that their son had exposed 7 through 11-year-old children throughout the neighborhood to pornography. The only child who said anything was the child who had been trained. And so often among parents, we think that if we just don't say anything, if they're not just ready for that, if we don't, that they will, and that they're just good kids, they'll just turn away, and that if we say anything, we'll just make them more curious. And what I found over and over again, and talked to many other experts in this field, finding that when in the absence of communication is much more likely. It's more likely to send them toward pornography, but I've never found an instance where giving good information, godly information to our children makes them more susceptible to pornography. In fact, the opposite is always true.
Well, that's great. That's a great word there, Sam. Well, we're talking to Sam Black, his brand new book, The Healing Church, What Churches Get Wrong About Pornography and How to Fix It. Now, Sam, we're coming up on a break, so this might be a question that you answer and then we break and you complete the answer. But the question is, how many ministry leaders struggle with pornography and what is their path to victory? And how should the church respond when a pastor or a church leader, a deacon, a staff member, reveals that they have this struggle?
Well, off the top of my head, I don't have the exact figures. I remember it being about 40% of youth pastors and about 15 to 20% of senior pastors say they have had a stronghold of pornography in their life. And what I have found over and over again, that when we take ministry leaders through a safe process as well, then and we help them really conquer this in their lives, and they really truly live in freedom, they go all the more on fire. Unfortunately, our knee-jerk reaction is to shoot our wounded rather than bringing restoration.
Mm, that is so true. Well, you're listening,
and we can talk more about that.
Yes, let's do that. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. We're talking to Sam Black about the hidden killer, the issue of pornography. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner. American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference. One significant way you can join us in this battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. Not only will the charitable gift annuity benefit you, but it will benefit the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity helps you, and it allows AFA to impact America for generations to come. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Here's Bert Harper on the AFA Fishbowl Retreat 2023.
We are so determined to come alongside the church and to support pastors who share Christ with others, but also stand in the gap for righteousness. And Fishbowl will encourage that pastor to be that kind of a man.
Bert and his wife Jan are hosting again this year with speakers Jeff and Debbie Shreve from Real Truth for Today.
Every difficulty that comes into your life and my life, it's a test of faith. The stormy sea where Jesus is asleep in the boat. That's a test of their faith, and they didn't do very well. And so most of the time when we ask that question, why, God's response is, my child, just trust me.
The AFA Fishbowl Retreat 2023, September 26th through the 28th at the Riverbend Retreat Center in beautiful Glen Rose, Texas. Register at repairingthefoundations.net. repairingthefoundations.net or call 662-844-5036, extension 297.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. As you just heard at the break, Debbie and I are going to be at the Fishbowl Retreat, September 26th through the 28th in beautiful Glen Rose, Texas, and it really is beautiful there. And we look forward to seeing you. We are very honored that Bert would ask us to come back and do this for the couples, and so we look forward to a great, great time together. Well, we are talking today to author Sam Black, an author and speaker. He has a brand new book out called The Healing Church, What Churches Get Wrong About Pornography, and How to Fix It. So, Sam, as we left at the break, we were talking about that big question about ministry leaders struggling with porn and how should we respond when a pastor or church leader reveals a struggle with this?
Yes, thank you, Jeff. And let me correct a statement I said, because I was pulling a percentage off the top of my head. But a Barna study reported that 57% of pastors and 64% of youth pastors said they struggle with porn currently or have in the past. And about 21% of youth pastors and 5% of senior pastors believe they are addicted to pornography. And so when I wrote this book, I did it with great compassion for a number of reasons. I think there's a lot of pastors who simply don't understand the issue well. They can't imagine why someone would destroy their life with pornography. Why would someone in ministry especially have any struggle with sexual sin in their life? And we have to also understand that often that ministry leaders came into ministry because they have experienced pain in their own life. and struggles in their own life, and they didn't want other people to feel that kind of pain and that kind of hurt. They wanted to bring Christ's redeeming power into other people's life too. They've had an experience, and they want to give that away. But as we talked about earlier on, that early exposure, the repetition, the drama and trauma that can happen early in life, often people try to push that aside and just move on. There's often a before and after wall. What happened before this time no longer matters. I'm moving ahead. And when we don't deal with those underlying issues and struggles and even trauma in our lives, that, you know, when Satan was there when that pain happened and he was witness to it, he was laughing for it. And he uses that against ministry leaders just like he does everyday individuals, right?
Right.
And the same is true for ministry leaders, that when they are struggling, they may need to step back and enter a process in the church that restores them and loves them and cares for them, but really leads them through a process and not just window dressing. Real discipleship, real life change, real work to address those issues and renew the mind and heart. And too often, when we find that ministry leaders have struggled or are struggling, we simply kick them to the side. I was at a recent ministry leaders conference, and one of the main pastors who had organized the conference said, "Sam, I really wanted you here because I need to understand even some basics myself. You see, I'm supposed to be retired now. We brought in another pastor who was going to co-pastor with me for a while, and then I was going to retire into the sunset, etc. But the person we brought in, it was discovered that he had a struggle with pornography. And we talked to him a little bit about that and tried to work through that, but it was just, we didn't seem that he was going to work, so we disqualified from him from ministry. Just a few minutes later, I was speaking to another district leader, and that leader said, "Oh yes, I'm called in the churches to fill in for pastors where they're being disqualified and other things, and we're seeing the issue of pornography rising its head. And I was just at a church, and the senior pastor was struggling, so we disqualified from him from ministry. As I dug deep, I learned that the associate pastor was also struggling. He's out to, we need to begin to wonder, when are we going to have anybody left to serve in ministry?"
Right.
We need to begin a real push within the church to help understand why people are becoming stuck with pornography, why they often stay stuck, and how we can bring freedom. And when we do that, when we disciple well, when we create meaningful change in people's lives, and they understand, why do I keep going back to pornography, and become curious about that, then they are able to not only live in freedom, they give that freedom away to others.
Amen. Well, that is desperately needed. I would think anybody in ministry leadership, there's tremendous fear. If I share this, then I lose my job, I lose my ministry, I lose my reputation, I potentially lose my marriage. I mean, there's lots of fears there that go in people's minds. How do folks get past that, Sam?
Right. They've spent their entire life preparing for ministry. If they grew up in church, then it was probably too shameful to ask for help, especially if they were a pastor's kid. And they're sort of being ushered into the pastorship, you know, from a young age. Mm-hmm. They've gone to the Christian college. Pardon me. I've often found this to be true. I've heard this story over and over and over again. And it goes something like this. When I was in middle school, I was struggling with this pornography. And I thought, well, when I get to high school, I'll be around more mature people. I'll be in sports and other things. And I just won't struggle with that anymore. And that didn't work. And so they go, well, I'm going to a Christian college, and I know that those, I'll be around other Christians, and there I won't be struggling anymore. And that didn't work. And says, well, when I get to seminary, I know that when I get to seminary, I'm deep in God's word. Things are changing in my life. I'm going to be around others. And if that didn't work, then they are entering ministry as a missionary or a pastor, and they still haven't dug into the roots of why they're struggling and how to really change that perspective. So shame and secrecy keep fueling the underlying issue that has people running to pornography. And so shame knows we're brave and strong when we're honest. We knows we're powerful when we're honest. And within the church, we have often had a hard time practicing James 5:16, to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another so that we may be healed. And we have to ask ourselves, what part of James 5:16 do we not believe? And if we can't create a safe place where people can be real about their struggles in life so that we can bring God's redeeming power into that, then my goodness, if we are keeping our secrets and we're hiding in shame, then we're never going to be able to enter into that freedom that Christ has for us.
Instead, that's a good word.
We often keep the shame and secrecy in place.
So you have in the book the keys to killing shame. Share those keys. Getting it out into the open, but does that alone kill it?
You know, Jeff, when I come to you and I say that this is where I'm struggling, this is how I've repeatedly promised God, my wife, others, that I would never use pornography again, but it stays in that secret shell in our home. But I come to you and I talk to you about that, and instead of rejecting me, you love me. You encourage me. You pray for me. And then you start taking me, not just with a good word that says, well, here's what the Bible says about this. You start walking with me on a journey. Our brains have also been molded by this. God designed us beautifully. And we have something, you know, there's a number of things I talk about in the book about how our brains are formed. And I think we need to address pornography from a mind, body, and spirit perspective. We are not just spiritual beings. We also have a body in this life. And so God designed that. So when we address pornography from a full mind, body, and spirit perspective, and you disciple me and you walk with me for a time, then I stop leaning on my own understanding and start leaning on God's understanding and perspective. I have created a cell of my own making. I've laid it block by block and bar by bar. And I have locked the door with a key, and I throw away the key. Nobody keeps the key. And when I try on my own, with my own willpower, with my own, you know, within my spiritual self as well, when I'm distracted, when I'm triggered, when I have doubts and self-doubt and emotional distress or whatever it is, I get angry at my boss, and then later that day I'm acting out inappropriately. It's because I go back to what is familiar in my prison cell, as much as I hate it, is very familiar. And I can go to the dark corners of that depravity. But Jeff, when you're with me, you say, Sam, I have the key, and I'm going to open up the door for you. And not only am I going to open the door, I'm going to walk with you. And that discipleship then creates true change in my life. I begin understanding, I'm struggling with wanting to go view pornography. Why is that? And when I am more curious and when I look at what is going on, I can really dive into that and then make different choices, and I can call you for support. There is so much wrapped up into that discipleship and a safe process that really helps you dig below the surface of, hey, I'm just feeling this, creeping or pornography. Instead, I can learn to make godly decisions and not continue to lean on my own past behaviors.
Mm, I love that. That's great. Okay, you talk about how the church goes wrong in addressing or ignoring this issue. Exactly where is that, and what are the consequences if we just kind of bury our heads in the sand with this problem?
There is, there's a number of places where that question could lead. So I will often we have said we have put a lot of blame on a spouse for a person who is struggling with pornography, and we have often said that, well, sex is the answer to his struggle. Why is he going outside his marriage to go find pornography? We'll just use women or men in this case, although this happens for women as well.
Mm-hmm.
That a man is using pornography, and I got to interview a number of Focus on the Family counselors and other counselors who found over and over again that sometimes pastors were saying that when a wife would go to the pastor, you'd say, well, what's things going on at home? How's your sex life? What's things? And it was heaping shame and blame on her. And I think we really have to understand that pornography is not her fault. He has been using pornography since middle school and the high school and the college. He probably entered his marriage with pornography. While he was dating her, he was watching pornography. When she says yes to sex, she uses pornography. When she says no, he uses pornography. There's a number of reasons why he's going to use pornography, and it's not her fault. So that's one place that we go wrong. I think the other part where we go wrong is we have a habit of not preparing our kids for what is coming after them. And I find that there are four myths that parents believe. Number one, my child is a good kid, and they just wouldn't do that. They would never be curious like I was curious. And if my child saw it, they would just look away because they're good Christian kids. And we misunderstand how God designed our brains to be naturally attracted, but there's dopamine that fires off, and it can focus one's attention to the point of tunnel vision. It's very hard for a child to look away. Mm-hmm. Number three, the measures I have in place are good enough. Typically, that means that the parent is looking over a shoulder of a child when they're using the device. What I found over and over again is that families are on road trips. The parent hands their phone over the back seat to their child who may be 8, 10, whatever, so they can play a little game, keep them occupied. And over again, that is where children are being exposed to pornography. Relationally, cousins saying, hey, I dare you to look up this word, those kinds of things. Boys, number four, boys are the only ones who struggle. We don't have to worry about our girls. I was at an event, and a 15-year-old girl brought her parents to the Covenant Eyes booth to sign up for Covenant Eyes. And she said, I brought my parents here because, you see, when I was 8 years old, I heard some boys saying some words that I didn't understand. And so I asked my dad for his phone, and when I looked those words up, I saw things I just didn't understand that aroused in me feelings that I also didn't understand. And for the next 3 years, I would look at pornography on a regular basis. I would ask my parents for their phone, and I was still at 8 years old smart enough to figure out how to hide what I was doing, and only by accident did they catch what I was doing and began to offer me some help. So we need to think about our girls as well, and that's just a couple of ways that we're getting this wrong.
Yes, very good. We're talking to Sam Black, the author of The Healing Church: What Churches Get Wrong About Pornography and How to Fix It. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve. This is a topic that needs to be discussed, the hidden silent killer in so many churches. It affects so many lives. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
The tornadoes that twisted across parts of the Midwest and Mid-South left an aftermath of overwhelming destruction and grief. Now, chaplains from the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team are there in the midst of the devastation, sharing the hope and love of Jesus Christ with those who are suffering. God is at work. You can find out how on Facebook. Search for Billy Graham Rapid Response Team. The Billy Graham Rapid Response Team, sharing hope in crisis.
The AFA Resource Center has all your favorite items. Everything from books, movies, shirts, and even hats. Introducing AFA's polyester and twill hats, starting at just $18. Whether you're into fashion, a collector, or you're just having a bad hair day, these hats are just what you need. You can buy one for yourself or a friend. Purchase your AFA hat today at resources.afa.net.
This is Don Chang with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide in the languages people were born to speak. In Kosovo and the surrounding regions, many are still working to recover after their lives and livelihoods were impacted by COVID-19. Unfortunately, this means that Christians who are looking to spread the gospel have had a hard time trying to get out and share the good news. Despite the potential hardships that people in the region might be dealing with, the urgency to spread the gospel is still there. One of the Tide Ministry partners on the ground has been fighting against a troubled economy and spiritual decay, yet still managed to raise the funds for a new church building, an answer to a 15-year-old prayer. We are keeping our partners like this in our prayers and redoubling our resolve to continue spreading the gospel. To learn how you can pray for and encourage people whose lives have been eternally impacted by hearing the good news of Christ in their own language, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we want to continue to make that difference. God's called us to it. And we have set our face as a flint, like the prophets in the Old Testament, to stay true to God and His Word. So I want to encourage you to support the work here at American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking to Sam Black. Sam is a former journalist and an expert in the field of pornography recovery, and he works as the director of recovery education at Covenant Eyes. His brand new book is titled The Healing Church, What Churches Get Wrong About Pornography and How to Fix It. Just to kind of set up this last discussion, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." Sam, when I was a young Christian, the things that changed in my life were drinking. That went away. I used to like to get drunk with my buddies. And my X-rated mouth, that went away. The struggle with lust was much, much harder than drinking or cussing. Because as we have shared, that's kind of an internal thing. And that is, I think for most men, that's a daily battle. And women too, but maybe in a slightly different way. But for men, that's a daily battle. Now, you say in the book that seminaries don't prepare pastors very well about this issue. What are pastors not taught in seminary about pornography?
Often they're not taught very much of anything, according to the pastors that I've spoken with, that this is simply a topic that we need to just have a good warning about. And if we provide the warning, then that will be good enough. We have misinterpreted the Apostle Paul's warning about how the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. That's from Corinthians 18. Paul did not say that in God's eyes this sin is worse than other sin. Instead, he divinely warned us that the effects of sexual sin are more damaging to the person in mind, body, and spirit. And sexual sin detonates not only in the soul of the individual, but creates a painful blast zone for all of those around them. And so Paul is really begging us, pay attention. This sexual sin is a big deal. Flee from it. Run from this. It's hurtful and more damaging than you know. And so if it's created that damage in a person's life, that damage needs to be focused on and addressed. But so far, we've only talked typically in seminary about how this is wrong. And so within seminaries and within the local church, we need to really think about where are we creating a safe place in our church to really get to dig deep, and not just a cursory confession, but living a life of repentance and change in this area specifically, and not just living with it. You know, I want you to know that I have a lot of compassion and understanding for pastors and ministry leaders who say, oh, you know, this will be a struggle for a lifetime with pornography specifically. Because the draw for pornography for me today is not like it used to be. I get to live in freedom today, and most people sort of think that freedom is really impossible, especially if they're stuck in that sphere. Mm-hmm. They go, oh my goodness, I just, how am I ever going to be this? But I was very among the blessed that you will ever meet. I had a small group in my a church that my wife was attending. I'd become an agnostic at this point in my adult life, and this is almost 20 years, more than 20 years ago now. And my wife asked me if I'd go with her to a marriage class, and I knew our marriage needed help. And when I walked into that classroom, the teachers would close the door with their hands, turn around, look at the class and say, this is a safe place. And what is said here stays here. And everybody agreed to that. And what was said in that classroom, people talked about the terrible things they said about their spouse and the evil thoughts they had in their mind about their spouse and their struggles and et cetera. And within that environment, I learned that pornography could be compulsive and addictive, and that was a great relief for me. From my secular point of view, I thought, well, evolution didn't make me this way, and God didn't make me this way, and I don't have to stay this way. So I got to enter a safe place with people who could take me through a safe process. Now, we need to think about safety in the church, and we often look at it two different ways, on a spectrum. And on one side of this spectrum is a church that's very safe, but you're not called to change. You're not called to obey Christ's teaching about lust. You, on the other side, is a very unsafe church that's a little more sacrilegious, that says, hey, it's safe. It's not safe because Christians aren't supposed to have problems. Once you have accepted Jesus, all things have become new, and you just need to stop any problems that you have in your life. You are instantly sanctified. But we know that sanctification is a process through life, right? Mm-hmm. And in that safe place, in that center sphere, it's okay to... There's a safe place to come, but it's not okay to stay the same. We love you as you are, but we're going to minister to you and care for you. And what we have found, this is interesting to me, that a number of secular studies by secular universities have studied the issue of pornography on the church, and this is what they found. Increased use of pornography caused greater disbelief in things that are holy, that they had doubts about God, that their church attendance would wane. They had less; they were less likely to volunteer in their church. The thing is, when people go through a safe place and a safe process, all of that flips. Now you have increased church attendance, stronger faith, greater wholeness, more volunteerism, more people giving to the church in a number of ways, financially and through volunteerism. That is creating a healthy and growing church instead of a church that is shrinking because of the undermining pornography is having on every ministry in the church.
Mm. Well, Sam, what would you say to church leaders? It's hard to do a sermon series on this subject, or even just a sermon on this subject. I mean, you have parents that are like, I don't want my 6 or 7 year old exposed to that. That can be an R-rated sermon, so to speak, just because the subject matter is very, very sexual. And then you have situations where churches, hey, we're going to offer this class for people struggling, and nobody wants to go to that class because that's the pornography class, and I'm just ashamed to walk by the door. What would be some practical steps for a pastor, a church leader to say, hey, we're going to start implementing this because we want to be a healing church?
Right. There's a lot to that. In fact, I am working with some other Christian leaders, and we are working on a follow-up to the Healing Church to offer those baby steps to pastors as well, to really just outline what are your next steps. So that's going to be an additional follow-up. But what I have outlined in the book provides a lot of that instruction as well. There's many aspects of this, but I think a central part of that is setting a culture in the church, and the pastor is going to set the culture. If this is led by people within the congregation, it'll get so high before it reaches a ceiling, and it'll become place over there is for the sickos, the people who need help. Mm-hmm. There's not any need for that kind of conversation or grace in the rest of our church. But a pastor who is missional about his culture in his church will create safe places not only for pornography, but for eating and drugs, alcohol, anger, pride, all those things that are so impactful in our spiritual lives. And so there is incremental steps to exponential change. Let me give you just a couple of easy ways that you can begin to start this conversation. One, we talked about training parents. When your parents, and you get your fathers there as well, not just for moms, get your both parents, make it sure that they're both there, and you begin walking them through how early childhood exposure, the repetition that impacts the brain, the neurochemistry that's behind pornography, and et cetera, how this can build an ongoing struggle and stronghold with pornography, there's going to be some understanding, because that man or woman doesn't understand, why do I do this? I hate this in my life. And yet they don't have any understanding. There's going to be an opportunity for deeper understanding, some conviction, because you're bringing this to your parents with some grace and understanding and preparing them and recognizing that that man or woman, their parents didn't protect them. In fact, they were probably shamed if they were ever caught. Mm-hmm. And if I've always told parents, if you want to cement pornography in a child's life, shame them. Because shame fuels the secrecy, then they'll just learn to hide better. In that basic environment of teaching parents, you will flush out a whole bunch of folks who are going, hey, I need a little help here, Pastor. Can you begin bringing me on a course of life change? And we have a great resource at Covenant Eyes. It's called Life Change, a Biblical Guide for Recovery from Pornography. And within, you can take them through that course. I also provide a lot of other resources in the book, show them how they can be used, where you can find them, et cetera, many of them not from Covenant Eyes. And maybe you have the first individual that is brave enough to come to you and say, hey, I'm struggling. And often what we've done is said, oh, well, let me pray for you. We'll talk about this. And I talked with the pastor, and he said, Sam, I know exactly what you mean about men struggling with pornography. I just had a man in my office last week, and I counseled him for 3 hours. And I said, well, that's fantastic, but how are you going to do that again next week?
Right.
He goes, well, no, I don't have time for that, right?
Yeah.
So he needs a process to continue his journey toward freedom. When
yeah.
you find that individual on finding freedom, then you can take that person, becomes a disciple who leads others to freedom. You
Amen.
Just created champions in your church.
Amen. Well, the book
There's
is called
resource that I.
Well, the book is called The Healing Church, What Churches Get Wrong About Pornography and How to Fix It. Hey, Sam, where can they go to get the book?
You can check out thehealingchurch.com, thehealingchurch.com, where you can download the introduction and first chapter, and then you buy the book wherever you regularly buy books online.
Amen. Okay, we just have a couple minutes left. I want to get this one question in. So
yes.
when a person is seeking help, they're down in this pit, they've jumped in the pit, they know they have other things have caused that pit to be, but then they keep going back to it. What helps to hear and what hurts to hear?
What hurts people is shaming language. If you are saying, there's a number of churches that have simply said you're not welcome in our church anymore. I think many churches would go, well, we wouldn't do that. But maybe it's minimized or played down. And what we really need to do is take an opportunity that bravery. If they've said, hey, I sometimes struggle with pornography, you might recognize that it's going on a lot more than they say it is because of the shame that they feel over that sexual sin. The things that can really help them is beginning that really digging deeper and then providing some, not only that safe place that you provided, but that safe process. And so there's some resources that you can use. Covenant Eyes has a brand new app called Victory by Covenant Eyes. And within there are about 30 courses that are all free. And it helps people understand, how did I get here? Why do I seem to stay here? And how can I really find freedom? And that takes them on a journey of discipleship that they can use with their, what we call an ally or an accountability partner, a friend who can walk with them through that course, through that learning. And I find that men and women who study and are reading and learning, and we also have this in audio version as well, they are the ones who find freedom more quickly. Those who are too prideful or think, well, I'll handle this on my own, or oh, that's, I read that part and that's good enough, and they don't really dig into it, they have a hard time finding real freedom in their life.
Very good. Well, Sam, you've been a great guest. I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate your work to help men and women get out of this deep, dark pit and to help marriages, families, people old and young in this serious, serious issue of pornography recovery, pornography and recovery. So thank you for coming on today, my friend.
Thank you, Jeff. Such an honor to be here.
God bless. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for today. Let me encourage you to go online, afr.net, and review this program again and send it out to some of your friends because they need help too. Lots of people struggle with this problem, and there is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, thanks for listening today. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.